Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We've got Shane, we got Jay Moore, and we got you for a three-hour ride on this back-to-work Monday. We'll open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks for watching the show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago and Cap. The one thing about the relationship between a fan base and a front office is trust. It's trust, right? When you are a season ticket holder, or when you are able to be part of something special with a team, you say, okay, how much money am I going to spend at the beginning of this year? All right. I trust that things are going to turn around. So here's my heart and my checkbook right there at the table. I'm ready to go. It's going to be a better season, because when a season starts, you hope it's going to be better than last year. Or if you win the World Series, if you win a championship, you want to repeat. Well, the same thing here with the Chicago Bears. There's been so much optimism over a three-win team. We've seen some bad teams, you and I, over the years combined. We've seen some bad football. But there's this feeling that, man, you know what? I trust, and we hear this a lot, the word trust, Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren and the Chicago Bears to get this done the right way. And you could say that. Those are big words, trust. But it's about action more so than anything else.
Is it trust or is it fandom? Is it trust or is it his name isn't Ryan Pace? Much like when AK and Eversley rolled in here for the Bulls, they're not Garpax. We're good. Sure about that? Are you positive? Like when Theo rolled in, Theo had skins on the wall, man. He had two rings. Oh, that guy knows what he's doing. He's won World Series. He took the Boston Red Sox from never being able to get it done for a billion years to they won. So we trust Ryan Poles because he's not Ryan Pace, and we're Bear fans. That's our guy. If they announced right now that Shea's running the Bears, there would be a contingent of Bears people, fans. That's my guy. That's my GM. Well, what has he done that makes you feel that way? Okay. People were mad after the last draft. He didn't address the offense in the second round. He took two defensive backs. Yeah. People were mad.
Yeah.
They look like good players. He traded the 32nd or 33rd overall pick for Chase Claypool. People are mad. He went 3-14. People are mad. He has got to hit Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. This is his chance to do what Jim Finks did in 1983. Go back and look at the 83 draft. It's arguably the best draft in NFL history. Jimbo Covert and all these guys that were there, Richard Dent, that were part of the Super Bowl champion in 85. Do I trust Ryan Poles? Yes, because people who I trust in the league tell me he's awesome. That guy is awesome. Okay, now let's see what you do. And we're going to wake up on Monday morning next week. The Bears get this grade. Don't pay attention to those grades, folks. Don't pay attention because nobody knows. You judge these things 2 to 3 years out. You can look and go, what a horrible pick. And then all of a sudden that pick becomes a stud. Or what a great pick. And it doesn't work. We will find out. Do I trust them? Yes, because my informed eye from people I trust who are in the league tell me that dude's good.
Well, I just know that when you're part of a fandom, you just want to believe, right? I mean, all you do is you want to just believe that your team could be able to turn it around. I mean, all losing fans are just singing right now.
I want my team to win again.
you to show me.
Just show me. Show me the way.
I want to feel a win again. It's so disappointing. You see, I'm crying. Boo, 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 boo.
Well, hopefully not crying like that. A little boo-hoo there. But that's all fans just want to see. They just want to be shown, Cap. They just want to be shown like, hey, you know, this is different. And look, you and I have been through so many different regimes.
Mm-hmm.
The belief that, boy, you just sweep out the garbage, sweep out the nonsense, and you start anew. Well, in this National Football League, and Shea's probably way more optimistic than you and I are as far as a new regime, believing that you can make that jump from three wins to where you need to be because of this NFL. But I just think that you and I are taking more of a patient approach with this.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. All we are doing is regurgitating what the bosses are saying. When I speak highly or when I'm disappointed about the White Sox, I'm saying what Rick Hahn's saying. You know, and if the Cubs underachieve, we're pretty much saying what Jed Hoyer's saying. And same thing with Ryan Poles. Poles is saying we're going to try to build this thing the right way, meaning that he's not guaranteeing anything next season. And rightfully so. You see the team last year? So I believe that Poles will build this the right way. But again, you shrug your shoulders because you don't know exactly what we're going to say. We have no idea. The hope is that after three wins, it gets better incrementally. And then after this upcoming season, then maybe 25, maybe 24, you're a better football team. That's the hope.
That is the hope. And I read a really good article from Colleen Kane of the Tribune over the weekend about everything that Poles is feeling. The stress of making the trade, the this, the that. And in there they acknowledge he made offers to Draymond Jones, Mike McGlinchey, like big-time players in free agency. Maybe mm-hmm. not all pros, but really good, the top of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not going to go to a level he was not comfortable with financially because he said he studied teams that quick fixed it. Get the GM in here. Let's get a bunch of moves. Let's see if we can rock it from three wins to eight. Nope, it doesn't work. You might have the 1 year bump and you slide back down and now you got these onerous contracts.
Yeah.
Oh, why did we do that deal? Nope, he's going to take time. Yeah, I think if you told him, and I'm not speaking for him, but I think if you walked up and said, I can see the future. At the end of 23, you're going to win five games. You're going to have two picks in the top 10 because you got Carolina's pick. Justin answered your questions. He's your guy. DJ Moore had a good year. You just don't have enough talent yet. I think he'd be okay with it. I do.
So when we take it a step further, when we talk about trust, so we don't know exactly what the Bears are going to do in the draft. We know that he's got 9, 10, maybe more slots to be able to fill this draft. We'll see mm-hmm. how it all materializes, how it all shakes out. But we talk about trust. So you mentioned DJ Moore and the picks he made in free agency. We could not wait to see what the Bears are going to do in free agency because they had the most money to spend in the mm-hmm. National Football League. Atlanta was second on that
list. I think
they
still do of available cap space. I think the Bears are still at the top of the list.
Still left over.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to carry it over to next year.
So with DJ Moore and that pickup, you took care of two linebackers in Edmonds and Edwards at the linebacker spot. You had to shore up that offensive line. You got a veteran in Nate Davis. Whatever you think of Nate Davis, he's going to be playing and starting for this football team.
Yep, at right guard.
And so DeMarcus Walker is a guy that we'll keep our eyes on. The numbers eye pop because look at what the Bears defensive line did not do. And then Walker had more sacks in the defensive line for the Bears last year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Travis Homer as a running back. P.J. Walker, is that the reasonable facsimile? There's a similarity of Justin Fields? I don't know. I guess we'll see.
He plays like him.
Yeah. And then, so what do you think? And then, of course, Foreman at the running back position. Tanyan as a tight end. Billings as a defensive tackle. These are some of the moves that were made. So we talk about trust, right? I think that he did a B-plus job of addressing as many holes as he could. It's not an A because you still have holes on the offensive line and defensive line. So trust in that, at least he recognized what we recognize. You got to fill some holes.
Correct. And that's why I truly think he's taking an offensive or defensive lineman at 9 if he can't trade down. I think he wants to trade down. Get more picks. He's talked to us ad nauseum, you and I, about we've got to get more depth to 17-game season.
Yeah.
you can go, well, I really like my offensive line now. And then two guys go down. Who you got behind him? Not a lot. Oh, boy. So you have to have depth. And he has talked about stacking free agent classes and on top of draft classes before he gets this thing where he wants it. I know everyone wants to turn this thing around right now, and so do I. It's a whole lot more fun to come in here on Monday morning. Bears won again.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yes.
I just don't know if it's feasible right now.
Did you like what he did in free agency overall?
Yeah, I was hoping he would have done a little bit more.
Defensive line?
Definitely.
Yeah.
To stop the run. They didn't. And I was hoping he would have gotten another offensive lineman. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ride or die with Ryan Poles. I don't have a choice. And I like the guy. So, we'll see.
Well, when he talks about trying to build this the right way, you know that there's going to be growing pains. It's like when Theo first came to Chicago. Like, I knew as a Sox fan that the Cubs are going to win the World Series.
But, like I said earlier, you knew, first of all, your heart beat. You don't root against them.
No.
But your heart beats on the other side of town, so you could take a more measured approach.
Yeah.
Me, Sylvie, some of us, no. That was oh, my God, we got Theo.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to sit back and go, that guy's won two World Series. He knows what he's doing. You're going to win.
And beat our ass, so I know what it's like.
Right.
So with the Red Sox, I knew, it was like, okay, the mood's about to change here. If as long as they give this guy the autonomy to spend the money, Theo's going to win on the North. No way. It's never going to. It's going to happen.
Oh, I remember the first time I got to spend extended time with him. I said, boy, we're so excited that you're in Chicago. And he looked at me and went, give it 6 months, maybe a year. And the picture on the back page of the Sun-Times, mm-hmm. where he's walking across Lake Michigan, walking on water, you guys will want to run me out of town because we're going to be horrible. No. And a year later, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. He said, I told you. That's how bad things were.
Yeah.
And so that's my fear is he had championships. Ryan Poles has never done this before. If they go out and have a bad year this year, what is this guy doing? That's how bad it had gotten. And he cleaned all that salary out in 1 year.
See, but you were able to have, with perspective, trust, because you saw what Theo did before. At some point, you said, here's a guy that came from the Boston Red Sox, won a couple of championships.
Mm-hmm.
I trust that this team's going to be better. World Series, I don't know. But this team's going to be better because of what he did before. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that the prevailing wisdom was, boy, Theo can't get a turn. Nobody can.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
If he can't do it. So I didn't have that as a Sox fan, though, because, as I always told you, 2005 came out of nowhere. That team wasn't supposed to win the World Series, but it did.
Correct.
I didn't have the – I believed in Ozzie. Did I believe the team could win the World Series? No. Had no idea. When McDonough took over the Blackhawks, I said, boy, the marketing is going to be better. It's going to be much more team-friendly. What, Stanley Cup championship? No shot. Oh, you got three of them. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it's about trust in individuals. It's about trust in Ryan Poles. We're not guaranteeing a championship at all here on Cap and Jay Hood. We're just saying that he says he wants to build this the right way. So I can't be against him until we see something different. So let's do this. Shay, let's open the phone lines. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. What is your trust level on Ryan Poles? Simple question. Your call's also the one player that we hope the Bears don't pick. All part of the mix right here on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your trust level for Ryan Poles to get this right here in the draft? And again, the reason why it's big is because this is big for him. This is huge for him, Cap. He'll be able to make this pick. Maybe it's number 9, maybe it's somewhere else, but he's going to make a first-round pick. This is big.
It is huge, and this is his first one, and if you go back and look through some of these great teams, they put their amazing draft class as the foundation piece of putting together championship level play. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned to you the 83 draft. 1983, the Bears select 6th overall offensive tackle, University of Pittsburgh, Jimbo Covert,
bust.
Hall of Fame.
Bust.
Short arms. And he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Willie Gault, starting wide receiver on a Super Bowl team at number 18.
Terrible hands. Fast, but terrible hands.
His hands weren't
straight. Straight line runner, terrible.
Mike Richardson, I think he's in jail now, defensive back, Arizona State, started at corner on a Super Bowl team.
You'd have to do that, but go ahead.
Remember, he can't have gotten him for any of the reunions. They couldn't find him. Next thing they knew, he's...
I think he's in jail now.
Just terrible.
Dave Duerson, starting safety, Super Bowl. Tom Thayer, starting guard, Super Bowl.
Quality.
Pat Dunsmore, he was a backup tight end.
Good
Richard Dent, yep. Hall of Famer, defensive end.
Colonel.
Mark Bort, starting line, offensive lineman from Iowa.
Number 62.
I mean, they picked up a bunch of dudes in that. That's like two Hall of Famers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 starters. Mm-hmm. 7 on a championship team.
Well, this is what happens when you start from scratch. You're only relating this to today because of how they had to start from scratch. This is early Ditka, correct?
This is early Ditka, and when I did the event with Hamp the other night and Briggs for Old National Bank, Hamp said Ditka literally walked into the first team meeting. People out there have heard this some, but younger haven't. He walked in, he said, "Guys, great to be your head football coach. I got great news and I got bad news. The great news is we're winning the Super Bowl. The bad news is more than half of you ain't going to be there."
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And the reason why you do that, similar to polls, is, well, there is some veteran talent on this team that a lot of teams would covet. And you couldn't win with them. Allen Robinson, Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks.
Quinn.
Out.
Smith.
Get out. Out.
Right.
You guys weren't winning. And again, it took some Bears fans some time to adjust to that. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute. These are good you're not winning anything with these guys.
Right.
And so so now you don't want a veteran malcontent or someone who's bitter on a team that's going nowhere, stuck in neutral, to be like, this organization, this team, these well-paid guys, this team. You don't want those. Get out. Go find someplace else to go. We're going to reimagine and redefine who we are as the Chicago Bears.
You're correct.
And rightfully so.
You're correct.
Rightfully so.
You're 100% correct.
The one player that we hope the Bears don't pick, and again, we'll take your phone calls here, just on the way you think of Ryan Poles as general manager, your trust level in him. We'll get your thoughts on this. 312-332-3776. So the one player that we hope the Bears don't pick. So, for me, Cap, the hope is that the Bears don't try to outdumb the room and take a quarterback. Oh, they won't take a quarterback. We don't know what they're going to do.
They're not taking one in the first round.
Okay.
Zero. Because if they were, they would never have traded pick one. They would take the guy they thought was the best.
The question is, one player we hope the Bears don't pick.
Mm-hmm.
I just told you. I hope the Bears do not take a quarterback and then try to trade down for more picks. What I want them to do is be able to lock in at 9. I already made my point very clearly last couple of weeks that I don't want the Bears to take a running back at 9. I don't want them to do that. Even if he's available in the first round, as much as I believe the running back position still matters in this league, I prefer them not to take a running back at 9.
Okay, I do not want to hear them say the Chicago Bears select Jalen Carter, defensive tackle, Georgia.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. If he has our jersey on, I'll cheer for him. I hope he's a good player. I just see a guy who takes too many plays off. This weekend, we're up in Wisconsin, and I'm on my laptop. Just let me see if I can find anything on it. Well, I'm watching Darnell Wright, and I'm watching Paris Johnson and Skoronski, like Lucas Van Ness. Like, there's some really like high motor guys.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that from Jalen Carter. Blessed with unbelievable size, athleticism. I just don't see him play hard all the time, and I can't take a guy like that. And I've asked Hamp and others that, no. They're like, if you don't have a motor, I can't take you. So that's, I don't want Jalen Carter.
Yeah, I'm glad that Lamar Jackson was taken in the first round. Because that same conventional wisdom is all these negatives, people write about him, and all of a sudden, well, I mean, Lamar Jackson's had a nice living as a quarterback in the NFL.
But they never questioned his motor. That guy played hard at Louisville.
Oh, but they questioned whether or not he should be a quarterback. They questioned whether or not he should be a wide receiver.
Well, at least one did, Bill Polian.
How big is his opinion in the NFL? Pretty big? Sizable.
Back then, yeah.
Sizable.
He's kind of disappeared. I don't even hear him do interviews anymore.
No, just my point is that I don't worry about opinions. I just worry about what I see. And I just think that what I would look at with Jalen Carter is he might be a green room plant. He might be sitting in there for a while. If he's not at 9, he could probably be in the middle of the draft. It would not surprise me.
I watched the Drew Rosenhaus interview on Real Sports.
You watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing. And I thought it was a very interesting interview. He's a very impressive agent. The connection he's able to make with his guys. He's got over 100. That's a lot of clients. And he's negotiated some insane amount of money, well into the billions of dollars. And he talked about Jalen. They could not ask Jalen about the accident because of ongoing civil litigation.
Mm-hmm.
And they did ask Drew about it. He said, I'm confident he's going in the top 10. Confident. We'll see.
He'll find a way to get him in there. He'll make enough phone calls and twist enough arms. That's how powerful that guy is as an agent.
So he represented a guy named Willis McGahee. Remember him?
Yeah.
The number one running back in the draft from Miami. And everyone's like, that's the next Walter Payton. And he blows his knee out, I think in a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Blows his knee out badly. And there he is at the draft, and people are thinking, this guy's going to slide. Nobody's going to take him. And Drew had an idea, and so he said, Willis, I'm going to call you on your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
He calls Willis McGahee. Willis is talking to his agent who's off camera. And Drew said, I got another call. Hello. It's the Buffalo Bills. Who's he talking to? Because TV was showing it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got different teams. He's getting ready to get picked here. What? Buffalo Bills select Willis McGahee. They will say, and they said this on the interview, we did not react because of what Drew did with the phone call, hoodwinking everybody.
Yeah, of course.
He believes it played a vital role. Oh, God. Someone else is going to take that kid? We better grab him.
No question. Because otherwise, why would you call? Why are you concerned about that young man on the phone?
Correct.
Why are you concerned?
Who's he talking to?
Exactly. That's what he did. And it's a great gimmick. They might do the same thing with, even though in the interview, Drew says, no, that won't happen. Like, I believe that he could twist enough arms to get that young man in the first round. And what I'm doing is, I'm rooting for him because I want him to change the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a lot of smoke around him. Yes, question marks about his moat, all this stuff. You know what? Change the narrative. Get to a team and prove yourself.
Yep.
How you do
get
it.
Get in the best shape of your life and play hard.
And if the Bears don't pick him, you know, tip your cap. I'm not going to be mad about it. Absolutely not. So, Shay, when you look at the one player that the Bears, that you hope the Bears don't pick, who is that for you?
Bijan Robinson. My head will pop like a balloon. And I know we're all kind of doing the root for radio thing because we want them to take the running back and Cap come in and lose his mind that they took a running back in the first 10 picks.
Yep.
That maybe even more explosive than him will be me, because that would be, like, there are very few things Poles could do where I go, boy, I don't know if that was the right call. Taking a running back would be the one where I'm like, that's probably a screw up. Because even the most successful first round running back picks, like Saquon Barkley, got the Giants nowhere. It's one of those things where it's like, you might pick the Hall of Famer. You're probably not, because there's only been 3 Hall of Fame running backs since like 1997. So you're already going uphill. But to do it, and then maybe you get the super successful guy who gets, you know, 1,500-yard seasons. What did Adrian Peterson win? What did these guys win? What did Saquon win?
But that's not their fault. They did their job. That's the fault of the team not building around him.
A part of that is you burn the most valuable asset on that position, and then it handicaps how you build elsewhere. The Giants would have a quarterback right now if they didn't take Saquon, and they do in Daniel Jones, but they would have had Josh Allen maybe if they don't take Saquon.
If you find a running back that is versatile enough to help you in the offense, there's nothing wrong with the selection. I don't look at the running back position like the fullback position. The running back position still matters. Now, I would imagine that Robinson should be in the 20s in this draft in the first round. That's what I would expect. Because you look at the quarterbacks, and again, everyone needs a quarterback, no matter if it's a lousy class or not. Got to have a quarterback. Got to have a difference maker on the offense and defensive line. Got to find those guys. And I would just tell you that if Bijan Robinson, say he goes in the 20s to the Ravens or to the Chargers or to the Jaguars, I completely understand
it. What if he goes at 10 to the Eagles?
Sure. Well, there's the infrastructure there where you feel like, okay, he could be our running back. We just got out of the Super Bowl, trying to win the Super Bowl. He could be a vital piece for us, a younger vital piece for us.
Agree.
But when you're the Bears, you don't need that at 9.
No.
You don't need that at 9.
No.
Look, I'm not going to devalue the running back position like most, but I know one thing. I know where they should be placed. The value should be placed later on in the draft.
Right. Of course it's valuable to have a lead back and a feature back, but I just... We see more and more examples. You can find that guy in the third, fourth, fifth round. You don't need to be spending a top 10 pick because unless he's, even if he is the Hall of Famer, and again, there's been three Hall of Fame running backs, guys who even have enough to qualify since like 97, since Emmitt Smith left the league. There's no running back that even comes close to qualifying.
Let me ask you guys a question. If I could guarantee you, guaranteed, that Walter Payton, rest in peace, is in this draft, and he's going to be the guy that we saw here. Hall of Fame. Arguably the best ever. Are you taking him number one in this draft, if you had the number one pick?
Yeah, somebody's got to play special teams. One player we hope the Bears don't pick. Also, Cap has had enough of something. We want to know if you agree with them. That's coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, and your phone calls, if you're on hold, you will be on the air on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
With the 9th pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select.
Tune in.
Here's today's headlines. Headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox were swept over the weekend in Tampa, falling to 7-15 on the season through the first 22 games. They are currently in fourth in the Central, but look to bounce back tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays. 6-07 start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs dropped 3-4 against the Dodgers over the weekend. It's their first series loss this season. Since the opener against Milwaukee, the Cubs are off tonight and will start a three-game series against San Diego tomorrow at Wrigley. The NBA is investigating an incident after yesterday's Celtics-Hawks game in Game 4, which DeJounte Murray bumped an official. Murray scored 23 points in that loss for Atlanta. The NBA will not suspend Dylan Brooks after his ejection for hitting LeBron James in the groin area. Game 4 of that series tips off tonight at 9. Jay Moore.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you in this Monday morning. We'll have Shot or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock. Don't forget, you can also watch our show on YouTube as well, youtube.com, on the ESPN Chicago channel. Watch this show and all the shows, youtube.com. Just subscribe to the ESPN Chicago channel. We're talking to you about the Bears. The draft right around the corner. Of course, we got full coverage for you here on ESPN 1000 leading up to the draft and on draft day as well. And the one player that we hope the Bears don't pick, we gave our choices. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. When it comes to the draft, Cap, there's something that always prevails, doesn't it? I mean, every year, just like when the sun comes up, there's always something going on. I know that you have a big disagreement with it.
Much like election season, just get the ads over with. Please stop. Please, can we stop with the mock drafts? Not one of these dudes is wired to know all the picks. Not one. There's a handful that are compelling because they've been doing it for so long and they're good at evaluating. Talking about McShay, Kuiper, Daniel Jeremiah. Okay, what does he think of particular player? But every day there's another person I never heard of doing a mock draft. The Bears are locked in on the... No, they're not. They're not. You have no idea because Ryan Poles is not talking to anybody about who he's drafting.
Except Peter King. Go ahead.
Maybe. I'm so tired of them. Please, no more mock drafts. Let's just get to Thursday. It's an awesome night. We'll be all over it here at the radio station. And I'm excited to see what the Bears do over those 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But enough mock drafts, please.
Well, I'm going to need you to keep your beak out of Kuiper's pocket. That's what you're doing. You got your beak in his pocket. I mean, that's how he makes a living, damn it. What's wrong with you? No, you're tired of the mock drafts. How else do you get the information? I mean, Kuiper's been doing it for years.
I read his scouting reports. Jonathan Hood, 6'4". He's a D-tackle, University of Illinois. What do you think of him? He does this well. He doesn't do that well. He projects like this. I think he's a top 10 pick.
And also played for a lousy program.
They're getting better.
Huh?
Getting better.
Uh-huh.
So that's, I'll read the scouting reports. The mock draft nonsense. Yeah, the Bears are targeting this, and this guy's moving up. Nobody's moving up. Because no one's talking.
And nobody would be quicker to quote it than you.
You hate fun. Mock drafts are fun.
He hates fun.
I don't find them fun.
They're just fun. They're fun content.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you something. Like Friday, other than who the Bears pick, are you like locked in watching the draft?
Yes.
Oh, God. It's the most boring thing ever.
I'm going to watch 1 through 31, and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah.
Mock drafts are just, it's fun. It's good content. Nobody's saying that they have to be the most accurate thing in the world. Like, you can have McShay and Kuiper and Daniel Jeremiah or whoever and hold them to a higher standard. But when I log into USA Today or wherever I'm going and it's mock draft number 4.7 or whatever they're calling it, I love it. I want to see what people are saying. I want to do the, I go on PFF. I do the mock draft simulator. I do my own little mock drafts. I have fun with it. You hate fun. You're an enemy of fun.
Until I came along. But let me just tell you this. Cap, the only reason I want to make sure that people know, the reason why my friend is anti-draft and anti-mock is because he's a baseball guy. That's what he is.
Like Friday night.
You're a baseball guy.
Yeah. I'll be watching the Cubs and the Marlins, and other than who the Bears take in the second round, what is it, the second and the third on Friday? I'll look. Oh, the Bears took the great. I'll be locked in on NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball. The rest of the second round, third round, fourth round, some offensive lineman Chicago selects from the University of Montana.
Oh,
what heck?
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Let me know if he can play.
My God.
I don't care.
That guy's pretty good with his tongue, though, I'll tell you that. Whoever that player is. My God.
It's so boring. So boring.
Quick off the ball.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently that player is.
Like, oh my God. Did you see? The Ravens took this corner out of the University of Utah State at Salt Lake City in the fifth round. Who gives a flying F?
That's enough. All right, that's enough.
I don't care. You guys want it? Have at it.
So we should stop talking about the Bears?
I didn't say that. Oh, I said okay. I'll be locked in on what the Bears do.
Oh, I see. But the rest of it you don't care about?
No.
Not even the Lions? Jet?
Outside the first round? No.
Mm-hmm. Jets?
The first round picks are cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just tell you my side of the table here. Because I'm a college football fan, this is the reason why I really got myself into college football is to be able to understand the draft better. That's the reason why that I enjoy the draft. Not the entire thing, but it's just going to be some names that I remember watching on college football Saturdays and to see them drafted. I always say, and I've said this over the years, longtime listeners of mine, I say that the draft sometimes is really depressing for me because all my babies, the people I invested in for three, four years, now they're graduating. They're going to the next level. They're leaving college football, something that I love on Saturdays, and now they're moving on. Guys that I've watched for a long time, and now they're going to the next level to get paid. So, I mean, I'm invested because I watch college football. So I just always intrigued, like, how good are these players in the next level? That's why I keep myself interested. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. I like college football. And so now my guys will be going to the NFL. Now we'll see how well they'll play. It'll be interesting. But, I mean, look, I'm a sports fan. I can't turn a blind eye to it because we've been talking so much about it. The Bears and draft otherwise. And we're trying to figure out what the Panthers are doing and who the first quarterback's going to be taking. It is intriguing. No question about that. We go to Joey G in Melrose Park on ESPN 1000. All right, Joey.
What's up, Joey?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good, man. How are you?
Good. I'm walking and breathing. I give Brian Poles a 10. I have the utmost confidence in Brian Flores. It's the guys that wear the headsets I'm concerned about on the sidelines, and you guys know that.
Well, okay.
Don't be surprised.
Two things. How do you evaluate the coaches with that roster? Like, how can you lose confidence in Eberflus and Getsy and Alan Williams, the coordinators and head coach? How do you lose confidence in them? Vince Lombardi back from the dead wouldn't have won with that roster, and it was designed that way.
Go ahead, Joey.
Okay, I could be wrong, but I sense it. I just sense it.
No,
and I stand behind Hoodie that this guy won't walk into Arlington Heights.
He'll never see Arlington Heights. I'm home of the
Bears.
That's
right, Hoodie. I stand behind you.
Yeah, because all of this is in transition.
Thanks, Joseph.
The whole thing is in transition. Brian Poole said as much. If the team underachieves, who do you think is going to be the first one blamed? Won't be Ryan Poles.
No, it'll be Eberflus.
Absolutely.
Right.
And he, similar to Grafal, he might have nothing to do with it. Just, hey, I got a headset on, I'm the head coach of the team, and I got this hitch principle, and what? We'll see.
Did you see where he was on Friday?
Eberflus?
Took the whole staff out to see what a winning organization in town looks like. He was out at Wrigley. Almost saw history.
So he saw the Dodgers, you mean?
3-1-2. We won 13-0 that day. Should have had a perfect game if Yan Gomes was a crossbody block Smiley.
Oh, no question.
I love L.A.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Yeah, you get to go see a world-class operation. You know, those that spend money. Absolutely. And on the precipice probably of winning another World Series championship. I'd go take my staff to see the Dodgers, too. Just happened to be in Chicago. Robert in Green Bay on ESPN 1000. All right, Robert.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Robert?
Morning.
I wouldn't be mad if they took a running back or a wide receiver. But I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. You got to protect Justin Fields. You got to get an offensive line. If a good offensive line player is there, you got to draft him. Or a good defensive line is there, you got to draft him. Because if you go in the later round, in the second, third, or fifth, there are some good running backs that, you know, could fall in your lap, and you could have a diamond in the rough. That's just my opinion. Or I wouldn't be mad if you trade back and get more picks so you can draft more guys so you can get depth on the, you know, offense and defense.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Robert.
You brought that up as an option to trade out of nine.
But at some point, you can keep trading. At some point, you're going to have to make a pick. And you're going to be judged on the quality of your pick, not the quality of the trade. So if he announces, yeah, we've traded with Pittsburgh to go, and we're going to 17, in the end, we're going to look back and go, who did he get at 17? Oh, that guy can't play.
All I've been telling you for weeks, I just want them to choose someone at 9, quality. When you continue to move down and move down, now you lessen the ability to get a quality difference-making player.
You're correct.
So to me.
You're correct.
First rounds are first rounders, but it's something about that top 10 pick, Cap. It's something about that top 10 pick that says, hey, I got someone at 9 that can help me for a long time. Again, it's not a given, but it increases your chances of having someone that could be a difference-maker for your team. I've been saying that. And as Robert's right, they could go down and get more picks to try to get more value. To me, I just want a really solid player at 9. I've been saying that for weeks now, and I still feel strongly that way. Now, you want to still move around in the third round, fourth round, and get more picks. You want to do that, that's fine. But for me, that first-round pick, get your guy at 9 and keep it moving. Please. We spent too much time with this already. You know, you're out of one. You made, I think, a solid deal to help both teams with Carolina and the Bears. Okay, at 9, get the guy. Get Skoronski and keep it moving, will you please?
So that's the guy you would select?
Sure, he's there. Do you not need help on the offensive line?
You do.
Okay, then. Or defensive line.
Yeah, I want an offensive lineman. I want somebody plug and play, right tackle or left tackle, either one. And Braxton Jones is going to the other. That's it.
Yeah, it's just, here's the thing. I can't disagree with you because you need help on both sides of the football. I can't disagree with you. You need help.
Now, if you said they took Jalen Carter. What am I going to do? I'm going to hope that he's a really good player. I just wouldn't do that.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap was a fish out of water yesterday. We'll talk about that.
Boy.
Also, Lewis Riddick with his thoughts on the aforementioned Jalen Carter. That's coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7. The Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come, shot or no shot at 8 o'clock right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. So some thoughts quickly from Lewis Riddick, who was on with Waddle and Sylvie. Great conversation as always with Lewis, who's an analyst for ESPN. Is going to be in some front office again at some point, I'm sure, in his career. He talks about on the Bears having support systems in place for Carter. It's something you and I have talked a lot about. There's certain teams in the NFL that have the support system for Jalen Carter. Everyone knows the resume, but not every team is equipped for Jalen Carter, saying, hey, man, we'll embrace you. We got veterans that will embrace you in. We have people that you could talk to. And I don't know if the Bears have that, but some thoughts there from Lewis Riddick regarding that topic.
I think that's what it's going to be about for him. And on top, and then when he gets there, how do we make sure that, you know, he has the kind of football character that we need? Look, you know how Matt coaches. You know what he demands. You know how these guys are coached to bust their rear end on the field and run and run and run until your tongue falls out and you lose your lunch on the field and then go over on the side, get a drink of water, and get your behind back on the field. Is Jalen the kind of guy who's going to react well to being coached like that and not babied and excuses made for him because he's the very best player on the field by far, like what happens to you in college? It'd be a whole different ball game in the NFL. That becomes the question. It's more than just about how good he looked against Ohio State.
Thoughts there from Lewis Riddick. Make sense?
It does. Again, if that kid walks into your building and you look at him, you go, boy, that guy looks like a football player. And then you just, if you turn the tape on, you just see plays that he takes off and you're like, I know you got All-Americans all around you that clean up and make the plays. I just need to see you 1,000% pedal to the metal 99% of the time, and I don't see that. So I would have concerns. For me, we'll see. I think he's probably gone before 9.
I would say that you're also, I'll speak for other teams. You're concerned about the off-the-field, though. You could fix the on-the-field. You could fix it. That's not a bust out there, Cap. You can't. I'm not saying that a Georgia player is incapable of being a bust player, because we've seen this, especially with Leonard Floyd when he was a Chicago Bear. I didn't think he'd be very good, and you saw what happened. He was better in a different system, different team with the Rams.
Do you look at a guy like Jalen Carter?
Yeah.
And feel, I'm confident he's going to be a star? Or you have some trepidation, but you take the chance because the skill level is off the charts?
Well, the latter part of that, but I'm also afraid of the off the field.
But did not have a history of off the field incidents. It's just this one thing.
Cap, there's two guys that died in front of him. And that can go two ways. You turn a blind eye to it, or it can affect you. And I don't know which direction that is for Jalen Carter.
Right.
That's just to be fair. So to me, I can fix if there's a motor issue. What do? You take it to a mechanic, the best mechanic or the best team that can fix that car. If you're concerned about his mechanics, you don't think he's very good, someone can fix that. But I can't fix off the field. I could try. I can give you the love. I can give you the infrastructure. You could talk to people. But it's up to him individually as a man to figure out whether or not this is going to define him or not. That's the thing I don't know. I think I'd be more afraid of that more so than the football.
Yeah, and I'm more concerned with the fact that 9 days after the combine, he's put on a ton of weight and he can't get through his drills in the biggest day of his life.
Yep.
That's more concerning to me, because the other one, we all did stupid things at age 21 or 22.
No question.
And he's drag racing and the other car loses control. Did he show horrible judgment? Absolutely. He wasn't the reason they crashed. They were the reason they crashed.
I know, but he was there.
No question. No question.
Cap, I did it. I drag raced. I told you that story.
Yeah, but was it?
In Lansing.
Yeah, but like by the old train tracks.
Yeah,
I done it, and it was just taking my dad's old car and drag racing behind Reich's Barnyard and doing it every Friday night. Bad judgment. Sometimes without a seatbelt. It's badass.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm 19, 20, 21, and I'm Jonathan Hood, and no one can tell me what to do. I'm going to win this money.
Correct.
I've done that. Stupid.
Oh, you were gambling on it.
Of course.
Wow.
Why else would you do it?
Kicked.
No. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Don't tell the government, but absolutely.
I think the statute of limitations passed.
Is it?
What are you, 60?
We'd move now to whether or not you were a fish out of water yesterday. Go ahead.
So I went to, we were up in Wisconsin. And my wife said, can you go to Lowe's and please get command strips? Didn't know what those were. And a staple gun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Usually in the relationship, the guy is the one who knows about all these things, not the wife.
Yes.
I walk into Lowe's and it's literally like you drop me in a foreign country and I don't speak the language and there's no signs in English. It's like, excuse me, ma'am. Do you know what command strips? Yeah, absolutely. Aisle 14. Oh, that was quick. How about a staple? Aisle 59. Okay. I go down. No idea what I'm getting. None. So I buy a staple gun at Staples.
Sure.
Come home. No hun. She was hanging some lights. So you have to staple over the cord.
Yeah.
You got to get longer staples. And they have to be low voltage. So if, to heaven forbid, penetrate the cable, you don't have any issues.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to Lowe's. Excuse me. Where would I find the low voltage? Aisle 59 on the left side. Okay. I go back there. I get them. I come home. Now the staple gun won't fit the staples I bought.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I go back to Lowe's for the third time.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Terry, what's your name? Terry. Terry, could you help me here? Sure. Find the staples. Finally, we get the staples to work. Now, she gets up on the ladder.
Yeah.
I said, you want me to do that, hunt? No, I've got it. It ain't a minute and a half. I can't reach up here. Could you? And I'm not the tallest dude in the world. Could you climb up here and do this? Twice I almost fell off the ladder.
Oh, my God.
Because those things are hard to squeeze with one hand, those staple guns. Uh-huh. Not an automatic one.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the hand-powered one. Dude, I was a lost ball in high weeds there. Awful. And the people at Lowe's, Terry and I think it was Andrea. I did a little Instagram story with Andrea at the counter. They're wonderful. If you're able to navigate places like that, I'm not.
Aaron in Crown Point on ESPN 1000. Hello, Aaron.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Good.
Cap, I just wanted to ask, when you got your items from Lowe's after your problem, did you put them in your purse on your walk back to the car?
Oh, for heaven's sakes. That's enough. Hey. That's enough.
No, put it. You get.
That's enough. I'm not going to let him insult you like that.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, just because you got dirty fingernails and you're able to navigate around Lowe's, I'm happy for you. Wow.
Have a great day, guys.
Listen to the laugh.
Wow.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.